Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace, from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, we will continue our morning worship service with the singing of Psalter 387, the first four stanzas. To God my earnest voice I raise, to God my voice imploring praise. Before his face my grief I show and tell my trouble and my woe. Psalter 387, stanzas 1 through 4.
Thank you.
scripture reading for this morning you can find in the book Romans, the letter from Paul to the Romans, chapter 8, starting at verse 18 through 39, through the end of the chapter. But before we will listen to the holy law of God, God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We mentioned to you Romans chapter 8, starting at verse 18 through the end. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall we not with him also freely? How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thus far.
Congregation, we wish to remember in prayer Gordon Josie, who had several strokes, is in critical condition, and also Peter and Lainey Roos, who had a baby boy. Let us ask the Lord for his presence and blessing. Almighty, eternal, faithful Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, thou who delighteth in mercy. And Lord, we need mercy upon mercy, because we are sinful, foolish, guilty, polluted people. We are born and conceived in sin, and we have our own actual sins, that we have sinned against thee, that highest majesty in the heavens, and we're only worthy of wrath, that thou would pass us by, that thou would not look upon us, that thou would not visit us. But, O, we beg thee, thou who art that almighty, faithful God, we beg thee, Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy honor, for thy glory, that thou would come among us. Lord, we beg and pray thee that thou would take reasons out of thyself, for thy own honor, for thy own glory, for thy name's sake, come among us with the presence of thy blessed Spirit, and that thou would give those blessings that we cannot give ourselves, that no man can give us, that only come from thee, that triune, faithful, merciful, and gracious God of the heavens and of the earth. And Lord, may we plead upon thy own promise that thou hast given in thy word. Thou hast said, where two or three are gathered together in thy name, that thou wilt be in the midst. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, then be in our midst this morning and bless thy precious word. We have already heard law and gospel, but we will also see the visible gospel through those signs of the broken bread and the poured out wine. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, then that thou would gather with us and bless thy word richly, irresistibly, powerfully to the hearts of sinners. Open spiritually deaf ears to hear thy voice through the law and through the gospel, that sinners may become guilty sinners, lost sinners, but also those who know something of that true sorrow because of their sin against thee, a holy, just, but also a good-doing God, may also be comforted by thy word, by the gospel, through those merits and blessings, through those riches that are through the blood of thy dear Son, of him who came to this world to seek and save lost sinners, who came to give himself, his life, his blood, everything for wretched sinners. Sinners who look within and can find nothing, but that are in the midst of death, bankrupt. And Lord, we beg thee that in thee they may find all the fullness, everything they need. And Lord, we have heard from thy word, how shall he not freely give us all things? Oh, we beg thee then those blessings that come from thee, from the Father, through the merits of the Son, may be applied by the power of the Holy Spirit to the hearts of sinners. Oh, we beg thee that it may be to the new birth of sinners today. May it be to the repentance of many sinners today here also in Cortland, that the angels may rejoice over sinners that are brought to repentance, that cry out, maybe for the first time, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. But may it also be for that poor and needy people who are so weary in this life with all the sin, with the flesh that clings to them, that people that can find no comfort but look to thee for comfort, that people who are guilty and polluted and need cleansing, that people who need the pardon of their sins. Oh, wilt thou freely give through those merits of thy dear Son those blessings unto their souls? Oh, wilt thou seal it unto them that their hearts may be broken? Lord, thou art merciful and gracious to unworthy sinners because of thy Son. Look upon us, visit us, hear us, answer us because of him and him alone. Lord, we have no rights. We're only a polluted people, a sinful people. We can only present unto thee all our sins and iniquities and transgressions. But oh, we beg thee, look upon us through him who sits at thy right hand, and that thou would come and give comfort. Wilt thou speak through thy word, I am thy salvation. Wilt thou speak and say, Son, thy sins are forgiven thee. When that poor needy people may be brought to the table, and who may sit under the shadow of thy wings, oh, may they be given to eat and drink abundantly, because there's an abundance in thee for the vilest, for the chiefest of sinners. And oh, that they may be comforted, that their hard hearts may be broken again, and that their hearts may be inflamed for thy name, for thy glory, because of thy love for such unworthy sinners. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, come among us and work mightily by word, by sacrament, and apply by the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, wilt thou take away all the obstacles, all the hindrances? Oh, Lord, Satan likes to speak and to disturb and to distract. Cast him out. Take away all the fear of men and fill our hearts with the fear of God, that we may obey thee, that we may look to thee and worship thee and thee alone. Lord, come. Thou art so worthy, do it for thy name's sake and for our comfort. We beg and ask thee, Lord, to remember all those who have gathered with us who are yet dead in sins and trespasses. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, give them life. But remember also all thy little lambs, all the sheep, all the recipients of thy grace. Oh, bring them to that table that they may be comforted by thee and by thee alone. We ask, Lord, that thou would remember then also him who is in the hospital in critical condition, who had several strokes. Care for him, Lord. Visit him. Help him. May we beg thee for his life, but especially for his never-dying soul. And may we acknowledge thee and thank thee that thou hast given life and thou hast spared life, that a couple among us have been given a healthy baby boy. Oh, we beg thee that this child has entered into this world may be born again before he must leave this world. Work mightily. Give thankful hearts to the parents. We pray, remember then all those who are mourning, comfort them, Lord. Widows, those who have lost children, a sibling, a parent, a father, a mother, other relatives, or a friend. O Lord, wilt thou look upon them in mercy and give that only true comfort. And that is not that we belong to ourselves anymore, but that we belong unto thee, that faithful Savior who has purchased us with his precious blood. Lord, we ask then that thou would remember all thy servants. Wilt thou help each one? We're sons of men. May we only be a voice crying in the wilderness, and that we may be instruments in thy hands to proclaim thy word, and that thy word may be blessed, that thy dear people may be instructed, comforted, and edified, and that sinners may be born again. We pray and ask thee to bless thy word throughout this world among all nations, among the Jews and among the Gentiles. Oh, that thy kingdom may come upon this earth for thy glory. Lord, we beg thee also remember all mission work locally in prisons, among those whom we may work with. But Lord, we pray also for thy work to be blessed in faraway lands, also in Bolivia. Help thy servant, Pastor Marco, and all thy servants there, Lord. Remember the elders, the deacons, the church workers, him who also will leave this coming week with his family. Remember Christian and his family. Help him, guide him, lead him. Help him to learn the language, and that through that way he may proclaim thy word to the Bolivians. And Lord, we pray, bless thy word then unto the people, that thy kingdom may come among them, and many may become lost sinners, and many may become those ones that know that only name whereby they must be saved in that precious Savior, thy dear Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask then that thou would also call more servants to be sent out, also a church worker for Peru. Lord, wilt thou provide also for the needs there? And Lord, we pray then, as thou hast instructed us in thy word, that thou would thrust out labors throughout the world, but also in our denomination. Lord, we beg thee. Thou hast given to students now, but Lord, there's so many vacant churches. Oh, we beg thee, we plead thee, have mercy on us and thrust out many more, and that we may rejoice in thy work. And so, Lord, we lay all these needs before thee, and we beg thee again, Lord, come among us in this morning. Take away all the obstacles, all the hindrances in listening and in preaching. Oh, may there be a praying, a sighing, a begging people to open thy word. For Lord, if thou wilt close, who can open? And that thou would bless the sacrament of the Lord's Supper to the comfort of thy dear people, to poor, needy, bankrupt, wretched sinners. Lord, we ask it, nothing of ourselves. We're polluted, we're a sinful, a guilty people, but may we beg it because of him, because of thy dear beloved Son. For thy name's sake, Lord, hear us, answer, visit us, and that this day may be to thy honor, to thy glory, and to the comfort of our souls, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us sing now, congregation, from Psalter 421, stanzas 1, 3, and 6. O God of hosts, O God of grace, how lovely is thy holy place. How good and pleasant is thy dwelling. My thirsty soul longs earnestly, yea, faints thy holy courts to see. Mid festal throngs and music swelling, my heart and flesh cry out to God, to him I spread my hands abroad. Psalter 421, stanzas 1, 3, and 6 in the collections for this morning is the first for the church and the second for the Terra home. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. Dear congregation, the Lord Jesus Christ instituted the Lord's Supper the night before his death. In the last hours before he would go and immensely suffer in soul and in body, he did not think of himself, but he thought of his dear beloved lambs and sheep. What self-denial, what mercy, what love, and what goodness for his lambs, for his sheep. Who are his lambs? Who are his sheep? Whom did he institute the Lord's Supper for? Those who know sorrow for their sin against a good doing God, and they never have enough sorrow. Those who have a true saving faith in that only Savior, that their only hope is in him, to be reconciled with that holy God against whom they have sinned. And they have a desire in their heart to live holy. They have gratitude. They want to serve that Lord, that God that sought them, that saved them. Who are they? They are those who stand beside David as a guilty sinner, begging for mercy, begging for forgiveness, begging for cleansing. Those who have become guilty before a holy and a just God, and yet are drawn to him by those cords of love, of his loving kindness. They have become a beggar with no rights. But have mercy on me, O God. Forgive me. Cleanse me. May I taste something of the joy of salvation that is only in thee. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me. Purge me. Who are his lambs, his sheep? They are those who are led by that Holy Spirit that come to an end in everything in self and are led to that only Savior for everything. They need everything from him because they have nothing in themselves. Those whose hope is not in anything in self anymore, but their only hope of the way of reconciliation, of receiving favor with God, of receiving something of that sweet communion, is only through Jesus Christ. Their faith is in him. These little lambs, these sheep, they travel through this life. They can become so weary. Weary with themselves. Weary with all the attacks of Satan. Weary with sin. Weary with the flesh. Weary with their hearts so filled so much with unbelief. So much coldness, so much hardness, so much worldliness yet. And they long to receive comfort. They need comfort. They need their faith strengthened because it's so weak. And the good shepherd knows what his little lambs, what his sheep need. He knows in his goodness and mercy exactly what they need. And so he gave his precious word, and he also gave the Lord's Supper with those signs and seals, those signs to seal unto their hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit, of his love, of his faithfulness, of his covenant love, of that great love through his sons for them. Yes, for you, little lamb, sheep. The sacraments, we read, are holy, visible signs and seals appointed of God for this end, that by the use thereof he may more fully declare and seal to us the promise of the gospel, namely, that he grants us freely the remission of sins, life eternal, for the sake of the one sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He freely gives. And congregation, now we had a week of preparation, of self-examination, and all those who are thus disposed, who know something of those three marks of grace, sorrow for sin against a good-doing God, and faith only in Jesus Christ, and who have a longing to live in holiness, to serve him with their whole being. They are invited, no, they are called, no, they are commanded by Jesus Christ to come to that table because he wants to comfort them. He wants to seal unto them his love for them, so that when they eat that broken bread that's given to them, and when they're given that poured out wine and they drink it, that they may meditate upon him, that Lamb of God, and that by the power of the Holy Spirit they may taste of all those blessings that he freely gives, that God the Father freely gives through the merits of his dear Son. May we beg the Holy Spirit to bless the preaching of his word and the sacrament of Holy Supper. And before we administer the Lord's Supper, that we would like to briefly meditate upon the precious word of God, which we can read in Romans 8, verse 32. Romans 8, verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? The theme this morning, God's love displayed. It speaks of God's love. It's all about God, and sinners are the recipients. God's love displayed. 2 points. First, by what he has given. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. And the second thought, by what he will give. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So, God's love displayed. 2 thoughts. By what he has given, and by what he will give. God's love displayed by what he has given. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. What has God given? He gave his own beloved son. He couldn't have given anything more. He gave everything. He gave his own beloved son. And now we read in this verse, he that spared not his own son. Who spared not his own son? Who gave his son? That almighty God of heaven and earth, Jehovah, the I am that I am, that was all sufficient, fully satisfied in himself. That infinite, pure, holy being who cast out the rebellious angels from his presence, who cast out man who sinned out of his presence, who gave his own son, who spared not his own beloved son, the God whom you have grieved to his very heart with your sins and your iniquities and transgressions, the God whose with your sins have offended the highest majesty in heaven, that very holy, infinite God of heaven and earth, who said, the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. That God who is just, who is right in all his ways, that almighty God, he's the one that spared not his son. He gave his son, he spared not his son. That God whose law you broke, whose law you have transgressed, and whose iniquities is before him, who spared not his own beloved son? That righteous, just, and holy God, the almighty covenant God, that sovereign, supreme being, who? The one whom John wrote of, for God is love. Yes, he's holy, he's just, but he's also love. God in his infinite love chose sinners to be the objects of his love. We read in Romans 8, verse 29, for whom he did foreknow. What does that mean, foreknow? Literally, to translate it, before loved. God in his own sovereign good pleasure set his love on certain individuals. Did they qualify? Not at all. But he set his love upon certain individuals gladly to acknowledge them as his own, electing them to life and to glory, to be forever with him, as we can read in Romans 8, verse 29 and 30. little lambs, sheep. We read, you love him first because he first loved you. When did that almighty, sovereign, supreme, holy, majestic being begin to love you? When? In the stillness of eternity, he chose you. He chose you to be an object of his love, the love of a triune God. And in time, he sought you. He found you dead in your sins and trespasses. He made you alive. He saved you. He taught you by his word and spirit. And you became the subject of his love, the love of a triune God. Nothing stopped his love. Nothing hindered his love. He made man perfect. Man fell. Man rebelled. Man was born into a depraved state. But it did not stop his love. Your own sins, your own wickedness against his law, your own sins against the gospel, your own sins of unbelief and wickedness did not stop his love. But he came, he sought you, he renewed you, and you became willing in the day of his power. You became hungry for him. You began to thirst for him. You need him. You long for him. He foreknew you. He predestinated you. He called you. And he will justify you. He will glorify you. Nothing, absolutely nothing, will ever separate you, little lambs and sheep, from the love of the triune God that flows through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the comfort, congregation. And that's the comfort that he wants to seal in the sacrament of Holy Supper. So now do you understand why Paul came to that point of conclusion of considering all that greatness, that depth of that love? What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against you? This God, who is for you, beloved church, who conquered your heart by his grace, who loves you with an eternal love, who gave his son, he gave his own beloved son. Why? So that you could become a recipient of his love and taste his love of a triune God. So that you could become an adopted son, daughter of God. Our original sin, our actual sins, closed the way to heaven, closed the way to the heart of God the Father. And to be a child, to become a recipient, to taste a little something, even a drop of that love, to receive a little smile, a little token. God, in his infinite wisdom and love, thought of a way from himself through his Son, Jesus Christ. God gave his Son. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God gave his only Son. What a wonder for rebels, for enemies, for sinners. But more is needed. More, yes. Because the law is broken. And God demands that his law must be perfectly kept. And he made you in his image, and he's looking for his image back. He wants his image back. You're made righteous, and you are unrighteous, but you must become righteous. How? God gave his Son, not only to come to this world, but also to keep the law, and he kept it perfectly. Now there's a righteousness that no sinner has. Is that what you found this week again? No righteousness. It's all unrighteous. It's all filthy rags. But did that lead you to hunger, to look, to cry, to sigh for one who is righteous? The Lord, our righteousness. But more is needed. Yes, more. Why? God's justice demands payment. Therefore, God the Father gave his only begotten Son. But we read in this text more. He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all. Paul wrote of such great, glorious truths and eternal love of God and sinners who are taught by the Holy Spirit and who learn a little something of who they are miserable, wretched, unrighteous, filthy. They hear this and they stumble, they stagger. What truth? Oh, they long for that love. But how can this ever be for such a one as me? Can he love me with such a love? Such great love for such a one? Those little lambs and sheep often wrongly conclude because of afflictions and crosses, it's signs of God's wrath, not love. They see all the remaining pollution and their infirmities and all this wickedness, and they see and feel and think they only deserve wrath, not love. How can it ever be? They see the poverty in themselves, and they conclude that it's neglect. God has forgotten me. They see darkness, and they think it is because he has deserted them. They have so much doubts and fears, and they conclude wrongly that it's false, everything in their hearts. But God, to prove to those poor hearts, to those needy hearts, those wretched hearts, of God's great love wherewith he eternally loved him, and nothing can separate from that love, God inspired Paul to write a great proof of his love so they can hear it, believe it. And what is that? He that spared not, he gave. He that spared not his own son. What does it mean to not spare? It means he did not refrain from harming. God gave his son and he did not refrain from harming. God did not refrain from harming his own dear beloved son. Who put the Lord Jesus Christ to death, children? Who? You say those Romans. Or maybe those Jews that cried out, crucify him, crucify him. Or those Romans that hammered those nails through his hands and through his feet. No, they were instruments. They were instruments in whose hands? They were instruments in the hands of God the Father. He spared not his own beloved son. God the Father put his own son to death. Zechariah 13, verse 7. Awake, O sword, against my beloved, against my shepherd, and against that man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. God the Father, the sword of his justice fell upon his own son. He spared him not. God spared not the world, that wicked world in Genesis 6 from the flood. God spared not Sodom and Gomorrah when he saw all that wickedness that was before him. We can understand that. God looked upon all that wickedness and his wrath had to be poured out. He did not refrain from pouring out his wrath, from harming the world. But we read something so different in this text, in the context. He that spared not his own son, because who is his son? His son is his beloved son. His son is perfect, righteous, holy, pure. God did not refrain from pouring out his wrath on his own beloved son when he would pour his wrath out upon you and upon me. God spared Abraham's son, but he did not spare his own son, Jesus Christ. God spared Lot from the fire of brimstone of Sodom and Gomorrah. He pulled him out, but he poured out his wrath, his full wrath, on his own dear son. Why? Why? What's the reason? Is there a reason in those sinners? Not at all. It all comes from him. He spared not his own son so he could spare his beloved people from eternal wrath, from eternal harm, from eternal justice. He spared not his own son so he could spare wretched, hell-worthy sinners. that very God who we heard this week, who delights in mercy, be merciful to unworthy sinners who cry out, have mercy upon me, O God. He hears and he is mercy. God spared not his own son. Who is his son? Jesus Christ. His son who was his eternal delight. His son who came to this world and lived perfectly forever, every moment. And he could testify that, Father from heaven, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. He never had one sinful thought, one sinful desire, one sinful affection, not one sinful thing in his whole will and his whole being. He lived perfectly, living for the glory of God as that righteous one. God did not spare his son, but what did he do? He did not only spare, but he did something else. We read, but delivered him up. He did not spare him, but he delivered up. He delivered up his own beloved son. What does that mean? That means to surrender someone. So God the Father, he spared not. He spared him not from harm, but he purposely delivered him up to harm, to his own wrath. God the Father did not spare his own son from becoming the object of his wrath, but delivered him up, surrendered him up. He did this. Surrendered him up to the sword of his justice. And he purposely, it was his plan, it was his predetermined counsel from eternity to save wretched sinners. What love, what mercy, what goodness. How did God the Father give up his son? How did he spare not his son? How did he deliver him? Certainly he didn't do this with joy. Certainly he did this reluctantly. What father among us would give our son, if we had one son, to enemies? I don't think any father. We love our sons. And even if we had 10 sons, we wouldn't say, well, I'll just give one. No, never. We would not even think about it. But God, that holy, infinite being against whom we have sinned, he gave his own beloved son. And he gave him up. He spared him not. He delivered him up. How did he do this? What do we read in the Word of God? What do we read in Isaiah? Yet it pleased the Lord. It pleased that Almighty God of heaven and of earth to bruise his own son. It will take an eternity, eternity long, to think and to meditate, and still we will never ever come to the bottom or understand that infinite love for wretched sinners, but delivered him up for us all. For whom? Who is Paul speaking about? Of whom he wrote, of whom the God the Father chose, of whom he gave to his son, of whom that very son came, was not spared, but gave his life and died for. Who are they? They're those ones who we have heard already in the beginning, led by the Spirit. They become guilty, lost, bankrupt. It becomes an end in everything in self, and they're led to that only Savior. Those ones who learn and know and beg for mercy, for forgiveness, for cleansing, and who know whom they remain to be, all sin. They don't become better and better. No, they become worse in self. But Christ, he becomes more needed. He becomes more suitable. And he becomes more precious. Is he precious to you? This very son that God did not spare, but delivered him up, is he precious for your soul? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Spared not from what? Delivered up to what? To death. To the horrible, cursed death on the cross. You see him in Gethsemane. There on the ground, as a worm, no man. God didn't spare him. And his sweat became as great drops of blood. And he cried, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." God the Father, that merciful Father who hears the needy when they cry, did not spare that cup from his son, but gave it to him. and his son drank that cup that was full of wrath to the last drop. And you deserve to drink that cup. I deserve to drink from that cup of wrath eternally. But he spared not his son to drink that cup of his wrath. He spared not his son to be mocked, to be ridiculed. And imagine that father in heaven looking upon his son, his beloved son, whom he delights in, and sinners are mocking him, ridicule him. What father? Even as humans, we can understand a little. What father would like his son to be mocked and ridiculed? But God the Father, he didn't spare him. He delivered him up. No, not only to be mocked, to be ridiculed, to be beaten. To be beaten. To have his back torn open. To be mocked. To be spit in the face. But more, even to be nailed to that cross, cast out. He spared not his own beloved son, but delivered him up. You see on that cross, lambs, sheep, look, congregation, look, who's on that cross? That Savior of sinners, but lambs, little sheep, look. Look to who hung on that cross. That's the substitute. That's the substitute who came and said, take me that these may go free. That's the mediator. That's the surety. That's the one that has a ransom that you need. That's the Lamb of God. Oh, he invites this morning. No, he gives in abundance and he invites. Little lambs, sheep, come, drink and eat. Drink abundantly and let your soul delight itself in fatness, and that fatness in the goodness and the love of God the Father through his Son by the power of the Holy Spirit. God the Father did not spare but delivered him up. And Jesus Christ on the cross cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And heaven was silent. Silent. Heaven was silent. Why? Because God spared not, but delivered up his son to be made sin. He who knew no sin was made sin. God the Father made his own son to be sin for those who have nothing for sin. God spared not his son. God delivered up his son so that wretched sinners can become his son, his daughters. What wonders. What wonders of grace. And who can come to the depth and the length and the breadth of this great love? Oh, to have a little sip upon this earth through the gospel or in the sacrament. That's a little heaven. That's a place of peace when you can forget about everything of self and just have a little sip. A little sip of that love. That's the only way. The only way for God and sinners to be reconciled. The only way that God can look upon in mercy, but more, visit no more. He can feed wretched sinners through him. And so we come to the end of her first thought. God's love displayed by what he has given. But now our second thought. God's love displayed by what he will give. We read in our text, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Paul begins this second phrase, how shall he not? And now think little lambs, think sheep, think of what God has already given. He gave that unspeakable gift of his dear beloved son. He gave the greatest gift. And Paul is arguing, he's using this as to reason. God gave everything. He gave his son. He gave that unspeakable gift. So will he not also give you all things freely? God gave his beloved son. And so, of course, he will give everything through those merits of his son. Paul is emphasizing, certainly, absolutely, those merits of mercy and grace will flow through the blood of his son. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? What does freely mean? Children, What does freely mean? You say that means without money and price. Exactly, but there's more in that Greek word. It's a deep, it's not only freely, but he does it with joy. That's in the word. He does it freely without any money and price, but he also does it joyfully. We can give something to someone freely. You don't have to pay, but we can do it reluctantly. But God, through the merits of his Son, he gives it freely. Freely, but he does it joyfully. Who can understand this? He who had joy in bruising his own beloved Son has joy to give wretched sinners that deserve nothing but wrath, to give them freely and joyfully. What wonders! What wonders of his grace! God spared not his own Son, but delivered him up to give freely, to give graciously, to give joyfully. Those blessings that those poor beggars need. What do they need? Temporal and spiritual blessings. Temporal blessings for the body. And he provides in abundance exactly according to what they need. But also especially those spiritual blessings. He freely gives all things for the body, but also all things for the soul. May I ask you, little sheep, lambs, what do you need this morning? What do you hunger for? What do you hunger for? Do you hunger for pardon for all your sins? He freely gives. He freely gives to the merits of his Son. Do you long for comfort? Just a little comfort for my soul. I'm so comfortless. He freely gives through the blood of his Son. Do you need pardon? Do you need to be justified, forgiven? Do you need salvation? Do you need your hard heart melted again? Do you need your heart inflamed with love? It all is freely given through the grace of Jesus Christ. Open your Bible, please, to Romans 5, and we'll read a few verses that explain what he freely gives to unworthy sinners who beg for mercy and look to him who trust in his Son. Romans 5, verse 8. Through 11. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, be now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. What blessings, what mercies, justified by his blood, forgiven, declared free of all charges, the curse of the law, of worthy of death, eternal wrath, justified, saved by from wrath. We only deserve wrath. Reconciled to God. That's what they long for. To be reconciled with God, to be brought back to God. Atonement. What blessings through the crucified Savior, the forgiveness of sins, and life eternal. Children of God, through the blood of your good shepherd who gave his life for you, God the Father will not hold any good thing unto you that you need for your dear soul for eternity. But he will not only withhold, but he will freely give. And he will not only freely give, he will give it joyfully. What wonders! What wonders! What lessons! What lessons for children of God, for sinners this morning, wretched sinners. Seek everything in him. Are you seeking for forgiveness? Seek it in him. Do you need comfort for your soul? Seek it in him. You need forgiveness? Seek it in him. He freely gives. Freely gives. And you, lambs and sheep, you who are God's children, yes, that's a big name. But we try to describe it also from the word of God. In this word, he freely gives also, especially it speaks of future blessings. Future blessings. What are they? That eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, and that we cannot describe. you shall be an heir with Christ. Christ inherited blessings. And you shall inherit blessings with Christ. Romans 8 verse 17. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. Joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified with him. There's a blessed future coming. And then you will taste. Entering into that glory. Then you will taste forever sweet communion. But this morning, the Lord wants to comfort you with a little taste of the communion from him this morning. Oh, what blessings that flow from the wounds of Jesus Christ. Oh, then seek all manner of consolation in the wounds of the Lamb of God. And this morning he invites you, little lambs, sheep, to come, recipients of his grace. He is worthy. He is worthy to be honored. He is worthy to be acknowledged. He is worthy to be worshipped. And you will enter into that glory where you will cast the crown at his feet. All to him worthy is the Lamb. But in this morning, he's also worthy. Don't look at others. No, look above. Listen to him. Don't fear man, but fear God. You who know on good grounds that he has worked in you, that it's his grace, and that you are yet in the midst of death. You have nothing that means bankrupt, lost, and needing everything of him. Come then, come and sit. He wants to freely give, that you may come in all your brokenness, in all your bankrupt, in all your wretchedness. He invites because he wants to comfort. He wants to comfort with himself. So come then, eat. Eat that broken bread and drink that poured out wine and sit and meditate upon him and listen to his voice that says, he that spared not his own son but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? May the Lord richly bless his word and bless the Lord's Supper for his glory and for the comfort of poor, needy, wretched, bankrupt sinners. Amen. Let us sing now, standing, from Psalter 229, stanzas 1 and 6. 229, standing 1 and 6. How lovely, Lord of hosts, to me the tabernacles of thy grace. Oh, how I long, yea, faint to see thy hallowed courts, thy dwelling place. For thee my heart and spirit sigh, for thee, O living God, I cry. 229, 1 and 6. Congregation, we will now read the form for the administration of the Lord's Supper. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, attend to the words of the institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ as they are delivered by the Holy Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23 through 29. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. That we may now celebrate the supper of the Lord to our comfort, it is above all things necessary, first, rightly to examine ourselves, secondly, to direct it to that end for which Christ hath ordained and instituted the same, namely, to his remembrance. The true examination of ourselves consists of these three parts. First, that everyone consider by himself his sins and the curse due to him for them, to the end, that he may abhor and humble himself before God, considering that the wrath of God against sin is so great, that rather than it should go unpunished, he hath punished the same in his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, with the bitter and shameful death of the cross. Second, that everyone examine his own heart, whether he doth believe this faithful promise of God that all his sins are forgiven him only for the sake and the passion and death of Jesus Christ, and that the perfect righteousness of Christ is imputed and freely given him as his own, yea, so perfectly as if he has satisfied in his own person for all his sins and fulfilled all righteousness. Thirdly, that everyone examine his own conscience, whether he hath purposed henceforth to show true thankfulness to God in his whole life, and to walk humbly before him, as also whether he hath laid aside unfeignedly all enmity, hatred, and envy, and doth firmly resolve henceforth to walk in true love and peace with his neighbor. All those, then, who are thus disposed, God will certainly receive in mercy and count them worthy partakers of the table of his Son, Jesus Christ. On the contrary, those who do not feel this testimony in their hearts eat and drink judgment to themselves. Therefore, we also, according to the command of Christ and the Apostle Paul, admonish all those who are defiled with the following sins to keep themselves from the table of the Lord, and declare to them that they have no part in the kingdom of Christ, such as all idolaters, all those who invoke deceased saints, angels, or other creatures, all those who worship images, all enchanters, diviners, charmers, and those who confide in such enchantments, all despisers of God and of his word and of the holy sacraments, all blasphemers, all those who are given to raise discord, sects, and mutiny in church or state, all perjured persons, all those who are disobedient to their parents and superiors, all murderers, contentious persons, and those who live in hatred and envy against their neighbors, all adulterers, whoremongers, drunkards, thieves, usurers, robbers, gamesters, covetous, and all who lead offensive lives. All these, while they continue in such sins, shall abstain from this meat, which Christ hath ordained only for the faithful, lest their judgment and condemnation be made the heavier. But this is not designed, dearly beloved brethren and sisters in the Lord, to deject the contrite hearts of the faithful, as if none might come to the supper of the Lord but those who are without sin. For we do not come to this supper to testify thereby that we are perfect and righteous in ourselves, but on the contrary, considering that we seek our life out of ourselves in Jesus Christ, we acknowledge that we lie in the midst of death. Therefore, notwithstanding, we feel many infirmities and miseries in ourselves, as namely, that we have not perfect faith, that we do not give ourselves to serve God with that zeal as we are bound, but have daily to strive with the weakness of our faith and the evil lusts of our flesh. Yet, since we are, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, sorry for these weaknesses and earnestly desire to fight against our unbelief and to live according to all the commandments of God, therefore we rest assuredly that no sin or infirmity which still remaineth against our will in us can hinder us from being received of God in mercy and from being made worthy partakers of this heavenly meat and drink. Let us now also consider to what end the Lord hath instituted his supper, namely, that we do it in remembrance of him. Now after this manner we are to remember him by it, first, that we are confidently persuaded in our hearts that our Lord Jesus Christ, according to the promises made to our forefathers in the Old Testament, was sent of the Father into the world, that he assumed our flesh and blood, that he bore for us the wrath of God, under which we should have perished everlastingly from the beginning of his incarnation to the end of his life upon earth, and that he hath fulfilled for us all obedience to the divine law and righteousness, especially when the weight of our sins and the wrath of God pressed out of him the bloody sweat in the garden where he was bound, that we might be freed from our sins, that he afterwards suffered innumerable reproaches, that we might never be confounded, that he was innocently condemned to death, that we might be acquitted at the judgment seat of God, yea, that he suffered his blessed body to be nailed on the cross, that he might fix thereon the handwriting of our sins, and hath also taken upon himself the curse due to us, that he might fill us with his blessings, and hath humbled himself unto the deepest reproach and pains of hell, both in body and soul, on the tree and the cross, when he cried out with a loud voice, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That we might be accepted of God, and never be forsaken of him, and finally confirmed with his death and shedding of his blood, the new and eternal testament, the covenant of grace and reconciliation, when he said, it is finished. Secondly, and that we might firmly believe that we belong to this covenant of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his last supper, took bread, and when he had given thanks, brake it, and gave it to his disciples, and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. In like manner, also after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and said, drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament of my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. That is, as often as ye eat of this bread and drink of this cup, ye shall thereby, as a sure remembrance and pledge, be admonished and assured of this, my hearty love and faithfulness towards you, that whereas ye should otherwise have suffered eternal death, I have given my body to the death of the cross and shed my blood for you, and as certainly feed and nourish your hungry and thirsty souls with my crucified body and shed blood to everlasting life, as this bread is broken before your eyes and this cup is given to you, and you eat and drink the same with your mouth in remembrance of me. From this institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, we see that he directs our faith and trust to his perfect sacrifice once offered on the cross as to the only ground and foundation of our salvation, wherein he has become to our hungry and thirsty souls the true meat and drink of life eternal. For by his death he hath taken away the cause of our eternal death and misery, namely sin, and obtained for us the quickening spirit, that we by the same who dwelleth in Christ as in the head and in us as his members might have true communion with him and be made partakers of all his blessings of life eternal, righteousness, and glory. Besides, that we by this same Spirit may also be united as members of one body in true brotherly love, as the holy apostle saith, "For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. For as out of many grains one meal is ground, and one bread baked, and out of many berries, being pressed together, one wine floweth and mixes itself together. So shall we all, who by a true faith are ingrafted into Christ, be altogether one body through brotherly love for Christ's sake, our beloved Savior, who hath so exceedingly loved us, and not only show this in word, but also in very deed towards one another. Here to assist us, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, through his Holy Spirit. Amen. That we may obtain all this, let us humble ourselves before God and with true faith implore his grace. Let us pray. O merciful God and Father, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased in this supper in which we celebrate the glorious remembrance of the bitter death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to work in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, that we may daily more and more, with true confidence, give ourselves up unto thy Son, Jesus Christ, that our afflicted and contrite hearts, through the power of the Holy Ghost, may be fed and comforted with his true body and blood, yea, with him, true God and man, that only heavenly bread, and that we may no longer live in our sins, but he in us, and we in him, and thus truly be made partakers of that new and everlasting covenant of grace, that we may not doubt, but thou wilt forever be our gracious Father, nevermore imputing our sins unto us, and providing us with all things necessary, as well for the body as the soul, as thy beloved children and heirs. Grant us also thy grace, that we may take up our cross cheerfully, denying ourselves, confess our Savior, and in all tribulations, with uplifted heads, expect our Lord Jesus Christ from heaven, where he will make our mortal bodies like unto his most glorious body, and take us unto him in eternity. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Strengthen us also by this holy supper in the Catholic undoubted Christian faith, whereof we make confession with our mouths and hearts, saying, I believe in God the Father, almighty maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. That we may now be fed with the true heavenly bread, Christ Jesus, let us not cleave with our hearts unto the external bread and wine, but lift them up on high in heaven, where Christ Jesus is our advocate at the right hand of his heavenly Father, whither all the articles of our faith lead us, not doubting, but we shall as certainly be fed and refreshed in our souls through the working of the Holy Ghost with his body and blood as we receive the holy bread and wine in remembrance of him. Let us sing now from Psalter 187, stanzas 1 and 2. 187, stanzas 1 and 2. Thy loving kindness, Lord, is good and free, and tender mercy turn thou unto me. Hide not thy face from me in my distress. In mercy hear my prayer, thy servant bless. 187, stanzas 1 and 2. Dear congregation, you had a week of preparation, a week of a time to examine yourself with the light of God's word upon the marks of the children of God and all those who must testify of God's free and sovereign grace in their own hearts, that he has sought you, that he has looked upon you in mercy, made you alive, taught you of sin, and that you sorrow for your sin and who you remain to be, but also who led you to an end in self that has revealed something of that precious Son that he has given into this world, not only to live, but that he spared him not, that he put him to death, he delivered him up, that those that have faith, that their only hope is in that only Savior, Jesus Christ, and whose hearts also long to be holy because he's so worthy to be served. And yet at the end of the week, you stand there in the midst of death. Midst of death. What does that mean? Bankrupt. You can't deny it, that the Lord has worked in you, but you have nothing. Nothing to present to the Lord. It's true, but you're wretched, lost, unrighteous, and you need absolutely everything from another, and that you may know it only comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who know of that grace are called to come to sit at this table under the wings of that good shepherd. He desires with desire to eat this Passover with you. Why? To comfort your poor, weary soul. To give you a little rest in this life where you fight against sin, flesh, Satan, and the world, and you fall so many times, innumerable. He invites to come to sit because he wants to comfort with those blessings, to freely give. No, even more, to give it joyfully. What wonders of his grace. The table is open. The Lord willing, if this table is full, we will have a second table. You know? The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. What wonders! He spared not his son, but he delivered him up to be broken for you. What mercy, what love! He didn't spare him, but he joyfully, it pleased him to deliver him up for those who deserve to be broken. Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. What wonders of love for wretched sinners, for sinners who have nothing but seek everything in him. Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This is my body, which is broken for you. Take and eat. What wonders of mercy for those who only deserve wrath. He gave himself willingly, his body to be broken. Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. For you who deserve to be broken. For you who deserve wrath. Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken. The cup of blessing which we bless is the communion of the blood of Christ. Drink ye all of it. I'll read some verses from Isaiah 53. In this beautiful chapter, we read what explains that God spared not his Son, but delivered him up for us all. For his beloved people, who are foolish sheep, who are sinful sheep, who go astray so often, but he delivered him up. Listen, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Oh, when we think of our sin, how we grieve that Almighty God, and how we deserve to be bruised, put to death, how we deserve to be beaten with many stripes. But he willingly gave himself. He gave his back to the smiters. Why? Of his love. Of his love. That God the Father would pour all his wrath upon him. So that those that deserve to be beaten and beaten with many stripes could become recipients to taste of that love instead of wrath. And we read, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And he freely gives, because he has taken all the iniquity of his dear beloved sheep. And now you're not called to think of your iniquities, but to think of him of whom it was laid upon. Laid upon the Lamb of God, and he willingly took it upon himself. And that caused him to be the object of God's wrath. God looked upon him as that one laden with all the iniquities. And him, he went to the cross. He died. And he took it all away. It was blotted out, washed, erased, forgiven, because of him who became that object of God's wrath, and he did it love. He did it freely, and he does it joyfully to give himself. Why? So that God the Father could pour out blessings on such unworthy wretches. Oh, to taste a little of that love. That's a little heaven. What wonders, what mercies, with goodness for such unworthy sinners. Let us sing now. Sing from Psalter 426. And we will sing stanzas 3 and 4, and then when the communicants return to their seats, we will sing stanzas 5. So 3 and 4 at the table, and please, in verse 5, return to your seats.
Thank you.
Is there others in the midst of death that must testify, lost in myself? Guilty, unrighteous, but also may testify, I've seen something. I've seen something. I heard of Jesus, and that gave hope. That came with power in my heart and my soul. And even hearing of that little hope, it gave some joy. Joy that I never ever had before. Maybe of that precious name Jesus, Jehovah saves. That gave a hope. Oh, you long that he could be my Savior. But you can't say that. But he has become the object of your hope. As a lost, wretched sinner, you may come. And you may sit at this table to taste of his love, to testify of his wonders, of his grace for such unworthy sinners. The table is open. Come. Do it for his name's sake, for his honor, for his glory, as a poor beggar seeking everything alone in him. The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. You deserve to be broken, but he gave himself to be broken for you. What wonders of his love, what mercies, what grace, what unspeakable love. Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Take and eat, and let your soul delight itself in his fatness, the greatness, the depth that no man can explain of his love for such unworthy sinners. The cup of blessing which we bless is the communion of the blood of Christ. Take and drink all of it. He gave his body. He gave his blood. He gave everything. He did but not withhold anything. But he poured it all out. He poured it all out before his Father. For wretches did have nothing to pour out, but that only could present to him sin, transgressions, iniquities. What love, what mercy, what grace. And he did it to freely give, freely, without money, without cost. But also, he did it joyfully. The Father joyfully put him to death, which we cannot ever understand. But he also did it joyfully to satisfy the justice of the Father, where we deserve to be forever under that justice. Let us read a few more verses from Isaiah 53. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. And by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. And because of him, because of that love, then we read those beautiful verses at the end of Romans 8. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. That love is eternal love. It began in him who's the overflowing fountain of love in God the Father. And it flows out to unworthy wretches through the merits of his dear Son, to those who are only worthy of wrath. Oh, to taste a little something of that love. And he that began in you, he will keep it, he will hold it, and nothing, not your own wretched sinfulness, not your own unbelief, not your own flesh, not anything, nothing, absolutely nothing will ever separate from the love that he that began in you will hold on, and he will freely give you all things. He will bring you home. He will bring you to glory, where you'll forever be in that place of sweet communion, nothing ever to separate from the presence of his blessed face. And that's why David sang, then I shall be satisfied when he may wake with that righteousness to see him, to be with him. That's the future of those blessed people. What wonders of God's grace through the merits of his dear Son. Let us sing now from Psalter 426. And we'll sing now stanzas 6 and 7 at the table, and verse 9 as we go to our seats. 6 and 7, and then verse 9 when we go to our seats. Beloved in the Lord, since the Lord hath now fed our souls at this table, let us therefore jointly praise his holy name with thanksgiving, and everyone say in his heart thus, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Who hath not spared his own son, but delivered him up for us all, and given us all things with him. Therefore God commandeth therewith his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, be now justified in his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Therefore shall my mouth and heart show forth the praise of the Lord from this time forth forevermore. Amen. Let everyone say with an attentive heart. Let us pray now. O Almighty, merciful God and Father, we render thee most humble and hearty thanks that thou hast, of thy infinite mercy, given us thine only begotten Son for a mediator and a sacrifice for our sins, and to be our meat and drink unto life eternal, and that thou givest us lively faith, whereby we are made partakers of such great benefits. Thou hast also been pleased that by thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, should institute and ordain his holy supper for the confirmation of the same. Grant, we beseech thee, O faithful God and Father, that through the operation of thy Holy Spirit, the commemoration of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ may tend to the daily increase of our faith and saving fellowship with him through Jesus Christ, thy Son, in whose name we conclude our prayers, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now sing from Psalter 422, stanzas 6. 422, stanzas 6. Thou art, O God, our boast and glory of our power. Thy sovereign grace is our fortress and our tower. We lift our heads aloft, for God, our shield is o'er us. And what follows? 422, stanzas 6.
Thank you.
congregation, receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.